Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. And please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series, Postcards for Life, looking at the last chapter of each one of Paul's letters. Today we are in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul uses the image of the Roman soldier to let us know our lives as Christians are not lived out on a playground, but on a battleground. We are in a spiritual war each day, and we need to be fully prepared to take on our adversary, the devil. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." He doesn't say if the day of evil comes. He says when the day of evil comes. Too many of us are unprepared and not fully equipped when Satan comes at us. Check out Ephesians 6 to see what Paul says is important in this spiritual battle for eternity. Ephesians is full of great prayers. Paul prays for the Ephesian people. Look what he prays for, that they may know their hope, that they may know the power of God and God's strength, and to know his love. Too many times our prayers deal with only physical ailments. We need to include in our prayers for our fellow Christians to have their spirits strengthened and that God's power will work through them. You'll be encouraged when you read Paul's prayers in Ephesians. I close with the last verse from Ephesians chapter 6. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Thank you for listening.
Last week, our service was led by guest minister Reverend Howard Ellis.
Come to the sanctuary where hope, love, and joy abide and rest a while.
God is the rock and refuge for all people.
Come, let us join our voices and hearts in praising the God of all people.
God is our mighty rock and our eternal refuge. Hallelujah.
Let's join together and sing, "Holy, Holy, Holy." Together the prayer of the day. Your praise lifts our spirits, O God. When we sing your praise, our hope is revived and our hearts are strengthened. Help us to trust that you will never leave us nor forsake us. May this service reflect our love for you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Our special music is provided by Paul Schott singing "Stepping in the Light."
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light, pressing more closely to Him who is leading. When we are tempted to turn from the way, trusting the arm that is strong to defend us. Happy, how happy our praises each day. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light, walking in footsteps of gentle forbearance, footsteps of faithfulness, mercy, and love, looking to Him for the grace freely promised. Happy, how happy our journey above. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light, trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. Upward, still upward, we'll follow our guide. When we shall see Him, the King in His beauty, happy, how happy our place at His side. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light.
Our scriptures are read by Kathy Grant, followed by Reverend Ellis' sermon.
Good morning. Would you please all join me in the prayer for illumination? God of fresh beginnings, You make all things new in the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Make us Your transforming power and heralds of Your reign of justice and peace, that all may share in the healing Christ brings. Amen. The scriptures for today. First scripture lesson is Amos 7:7-15. Okay, thus He showed me, behold, the Lord stood on the wall made with a plumb line, in His hand, and the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise with a sword against the house of Jeroboam. Amatazah and the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear his words, for thus Amos said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, go, you seer, flee from the land of Judah. There eat bread, and there prophesize, but never again prophesize at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder, and the tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. The second scripture is from Mark 6, 14 through 29. Now King Herod heard of him being Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, for his name had become well known, and he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are not at work in him. Others said, it's Elijah. I'm going to reference that back to what he's talking about. He has already killed John the Baptist. He is talking of him, which is Jesus Christ, and he's hearing about him through all people are all talking about Jesus doing all these things. That's why he's referencing back and saying this can't be John the Baptist. He's dead. Okay? Now they're speculating and they're saying, well, it's Elijah. And others said it is the prophet or like one of the prophets. But then Herod heard, he said, this is John whom I beheaded. He has been risen from the dead. For Herod himself has sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, this is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore, Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was just and holy man. And he protected him. And when he heard him, he said, he did many things and heard him gladly. Then the opportune day came when Herod and his birthday gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias, his daughter herself, came in and danced and pleased Herod, those who sat with them, and the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. He also swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give up to half of my kingdom. So she went out and asked her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Immediately she came to the haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. Yet because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executor and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of this, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Thus is the end of the scriptures.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Reverend Cobb must be a little feller. This thing's kind of low. Yeah, anyway, we'll make do. We'll make do. Happy endings. We like happy endings, don't we? We've kind of been trained that way. We all love the folk tales, fairy tales. And a fairy tale always has a happy ending. You know, like, was it Sleeping Beauty? The prince comes and kisses her, and the life ends, and life goes on perfectly. And so every little girl is looking for the perfect prince to come and kiss her and wake her up, and everybody hopes for the best. How many brides have come to their wedding, and they're totally obsessed with the idea that this is going to be a perfect marriage, and they find out it's not quite what they thought it was going to be. And so we are surrounded from birth by this idea that there's going to be a fairy tale ending for everything. Storyline comes to us all the time from very early on
in all the books we read as children. We go to the movies, and most movies have kind of a satisfying ending that is good, and it seems like it makes an enjoyable afternoon. You turn to popular television programs, and there's always a good ending. And then today we follow marriages, and weddings, vacations, and births. And we love to follow the celebrities, and we're fascinated with the royal family. Americans don't have a king or a queen, but I bet you most people can tell you about the problems of Meg and Harry and her brother and the queen in England, and how it's all just their problems. So we fantasize how to live a fairy tale life. We're enchanted by the tales of the underdog and the anti-heroes that come along. Moreover, somewhere in all this, we put together something in our heads that tells us this is what life should be like. This is the ideal life of a fairy tale. But somehow we have this in the back of our heads. But real life seldom will resemble a fairy tale. We have no guarantee that your life is going to end happily. We have no guarantee of the future, really. The Bible is not so much about folk tales. It's a story about a royal family, as we learned today in the lesson. But it's a royal family with deep problems. Herod is a silly fool, he comes across in this story. And his wife is a conniving, vengeful woman, Queen Herodias. And she's filled with hatred and desire for revenge. She wants John the Baptist's head on a platter at any cost, and she even gets her daughter into the plot to kill John the Baptist. I don't think that's a fairy tale at all. I think it's more like a horror story. We read about the presentation of John's head on that platter, and we can just see the empty face sitting on that platter. And we can see King Herod would rather commit murder than appear to be a fool and around his friends, yet he does look horrible. John the Baptist's life becomes tragic, and John lived a challenging life, though. Remember John preaching in the wilderness, wild locust and honey, and how he warned all about the vipers to come? And all this, he announced the coming of Jesus, the one that he could not even bend down and untie his thong of his sandals. He is the one who came. He says, I baptize you with water. But when he comes, the Messiah, which is Jesus, he'll baptize you with the water and the Holy Spirit and fire. That's the difference. And yet, Jesus said of him, among those mortal women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet John the Baptist doesn't face a fairy tale ending to his life, but he is one of God's chosen servants. Still, we humans, we cling so strongly to those old ideas, maybe we learn them as little kids, that life is supposed to be good, that we're supposed to have everything. And we expect happy endings. We expect fairy tales. And we're bewildered when things don't go the way we planned it. In fact, we can be so committed to those fairy tales that we create all kinds of images. We create an idea of ourselves as successful and rather than face the reality. And we intentionally project these images onto ourselves and to others. And we edit them and make them seem good. Sometimes they're so completely false that they're just telling a lie. There is a paid service, by the way. Did you know that? It's called fake a vacation. Give them your credit card, your PayPal number, or however you want to do it. And guess what? They'll take your pictures. You name the vacation spot that you want to go to. And they will take your pictures through the magic of the computer, and they will actually create a fake vacation for you. And you can name the spot. You can go to the Bahamas. You can go to Cancun. You can go to the ride. You can go to where else in the world. They'll take you there, and they'll take pictures, superimpose your images on it, and they'll even give you a little script to go with it. And this is your fake vacation, and you have it. And you can share it. And you guess what? You can take it, pictures and all, and put it on Facebook. And all your neighbors, if you laugh, but people do this, and they will actually see a projected image of you successful, doing all of these things when it's not true. And people will begin to watch that and think, wow, what are they doing? They don't know the truth, but they just see the lie, and the lie deceives people. You know, life doesn't have to be a fairy tale. In fact, that can be dangerous, very dangerous. You know, if you suddenly feel yourself getting really down, getting low, you might check, what are you doing with your spare time? I have a sneaking suspicion. Do you ever go I remember before smartphones and all this, you go to the doctor's office, you can always find somebody to talk to. While the time away and talk to your friends. Now what are people doing? They're looking at that stupid phone, and they don't talk. There's no relationships. And also, too, people who work in therapy say people who spend too much time watching, fiddling with their smartphones and on this stuff, tend to have a higher level of depression and mental illness. So if you start to feel that something is not right in your life, check your viewing habits. Check and see what you're seeing. Avoid that stuff. But anyway, the thing, you can become so absorbed in something that's not true that it begins to wear and to eat on your life. You know, life doesn't have to be a fairy tale. Life doesn't have to be a lie. You may go through life and it may not be exactly what you hoped. You may have veered from the path that you're supposed to, but you know what you can do to get better. You know, you may look and say, gee, I wish I had better health. And you may find yourself sidelined because you're not as healthy as you once were. You may be disappointed because, you know, well, my marriage didn't work and we had a divorce and we split up and there was a lot of hurt to my kids. And maybe something distressing happened to you. Your children didn't turn out the way you hoped they were. You may be filled with a sense of disillusionment. May leave you feeling angry. You may have a great heartache and great sorrow, and you may be in confusion because I'm not matching up to that standard that's set out there for us. And you may be, well, and you wonder what went wrong. Well, maybe nothing really went wrong. Maybe you're just looking at the wrong script. There are people who seem to approach life differently. What is it? What is there about those who approach life differently? Their lives look nothing like a fairy tale. Their lives are not in any way conventional. But somehow, these people find deep joy and purpose in life, even in the midst of great hurt and great trials. You probably know someone who suffered a great loss and whose life did not play out the way I'm sure they hope. No one wishes all that to happen to them. But still, there's a deep joy and a deep sense of purpose involved with that. I suspect John the Baptist was one of those people. I suspect John the Baptist knew very well what was going to happen, that there was a possibility of death, that his head could be on a platter when he told Herod that was not a good idea to marry that woman. That was wrong. That violated the Torah. You shall not marry your brother's wife. That's a violation of the norms of Israel. And here's what happens is that Pharaoh turns to him at the party and says, "What?" This is what happens to all preachers, by the way. All you have to have is an uppity preacher. You know, I've been to churches, and I know, and maybe you knew too, that when you get to a place, you'll find that kind of the unspoken message becomes like this. This is what I'm sure Herod was communicated to David or to John the Baptist. Preacher, you stick to the Bible. You just stick with the Bible now, and none of that meddling in spiritual things. Not in my spiritual life, that is. And you stay out of what's personal. What's private is private. And my marriage to my wife is a private matter, not between you and me. And he goes on and says, as far as the politics go, you're out the door. We don't want to hear anything about that. So maybe we ought to ask ourselves, with John the Baptist like this, have we ever stood up and told the truth that people didn't want to hear? Have you ever told somebody something that they did not want to hear because it was the truth? The church is meant to be a good place of comfort. We can sure find a lot of way to comfort people, but it also can be a place of the truth, a place where we know the truth and live by the truth. People of faith follow Jesus. This is exactly what our deepest desires are rooted in. St. Paul described it as the glorious grace that God has bestowed upon us. God's grace has been given to us. That becomes a new way of living. We live not out of the storyline of a fairy tale, but the storyline of God's grace and love for us and the redemption of the world. We live out of that because we know that's the way that leads to life. The other way is the way that leads to death. We may have great tragedies, great problems, but this will sustain us through it all, being held by God's storyline. No matter what trials or disappointments you face, we have an inheritance that God has for us. Paul writes, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the pledge of our inheritance towards the redemption as the people of God. That's the story we live by. Is that in the end, we have an inheritance and that we are going to live out of God's grace. We're going to live out of God's love. We're going to live out of God's truth. We're not going to live out of some false narrative. We are going to live out of the truth. And out of that, we will find freedom and love. Our lives find meaning and purposes not in human storylines, but in God's story. You know, you could just throw away all those fairy tales you heard. Forget about them and trust your life into the hands of God. Because in God's hands, God's storyline is bigger than any storyline out there. Greater than individual story when we root ourselves in God. John the Baptist did it, and you can do it too. You can root your life in God so much more than you ever imagined. Well, you say, wasn't that a tragic story we had heard today? John the Baptist's head on a platter. It's not how we usually think of John the Baptist, is it? The guy who got his head chopped off? Remember, John is the preacher who announced the coming of the Messiah, the hero of faith. And that's how we'll be remembered too, if we live out of the God story, remembered as people who live in the light of God's love, who have been blessed by the gift of the Holy Spirit, been called and redeemed by God. We've been given a glorious grace to live lives full of meaning, flooded with faith, hope, and love by Jesus. Maya Angelou once said, "You may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them." In other words, bad things can happen to you, but you can decide, "They're not going to destroy me. I'm going to keep going. I have a Lord who forgave me. I can pick up the pieces and I can go on." Few of us live fairy tale lives, but we have a choice. How will we live our lives? How will we define our lives? Well, you have it. You have the gospel. You live out of the gospel. And then you have grace joy and the purpose it brings, and nothing else can take that away from you. Amen.